And we're back with Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM. And if everything worked out right, we should have Abdi Dershi, and he is a member of Somali Cause and attended the recent conference. Let's see. Abdi, are you with us today?
Hi, Brandon. I'm here. Thank you for having me on the program today.
Oh, this is great. It's nice to hear from you. I was just wondering, could you tell our listeners, this conference was organized in part by the Somali Cause, was it? I mean, could you tell us about that organization?
Well, this conference is our annual, conference. We hold this conference every year. And Somali Cause is an organization that came into being when Somalia was invaded in 2006. And Somali Cause is an umbrella of several organizations that are in North America. For example, I'm part of the Somali-Canadian Diaspora Alliance that is here in Canada. And we have six other organizations in the USA, all of which came together make sure that we raise awareness about the situation in Somalia.
Okay, so I understand the conference was going to address in part the situation in Somalia since the invasion by Ethiopia. And I'm just wondering, what are some of the results of that invasion as discussed at the conference?
Well, we have talked about this before. Somalia was invaded by Ethiopian military, funded and supported by the U.S. Military and the European Union. It was a proxy war, and for about 2 years, they have done nothing but killing and destroying lives in Somalia. We had over 10,000 people killed, over a million people made homeless, by the constant bombardment of the Ethiopian, military shelling. And after 2 years, we had the Somali people organize and fight against the Ethiopian occupation. And we in the diaspora Somalis have tried to bring the situation, the involvement of the military, of the Ethiopian military and the United States involvement in Somalia to light. And what has happened since is that the Union of Islamic Courts, which at the time of the invasion were in power in Somalia, were really defeated in Somalia, and they were out of the country and formed an organization that would fight the occupation in Eritrea, Asmara, Eritrea, in 2007. Since then, there has been, insurgency struggle against the occupation, and finally, the Ethiopians have been defeated, left Somalia, and the Somalis are trying to regroup and restructure their lives after such a devastating invasion and killing.
Now, you mentioned the ICU, the Islamic Courts Union. I mean, how did that function? Was this like a government that came to being?
Well, as a matter of fact, they came from the people. Because of the lack of central government, each and every area of Somalia organized its, rule of law to minimize the impact of the anarchy. And smaller, traditional courts were organized by each and every town and city. And those small courts came together in a union. They sort of became the Union of Islamic Courts to really fight against the warlords who were, funded by the CIA as documented worldwide. And those warlords were chased out of the country by the Islamic courts, and for the first time in 18 years, we had a stable, peaceful situation where the people could do their business without fear of violence, and that was something to be celebrated, and that stability was reversed by the invasion of Ethiopia with the help of the United States.
Hi, Abdi. It's Peter Leibovich.
Brandon.
Yeah, we just switched hosts.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Peter Leibovich speaking.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Very good. You just described the point up to the intervention of the Ethiopians to chase out the ICU. Now, when the Ethiopians, had taken over using massive military might, what happened to the ICU in terms of its ability to fight back against that invasion?
Well, the leadership, decided to, either to go to the neighboring countries or not neighboring countries, but to specifically to Eritrea. And the fighters, there was a strategic decision that they made, which was just to wage an insurgency, since they didn't have the equipment and the weapons to withstand more powerful military, company of the Ethiopians and the Americans. So that insurgency forced the Ethiopians to withdraw in the end.
And now we come to this sort of point where the people themselves drove the Ethiopians out. I guess the conference you had this weekend was to talk about discuss the way forward in terms of dealing with Somalia now without the Ethiopians occupying it. Has there been an attempt to reconstitute the Islamic courts, or what is the form, what is the governmental form now that exists in Somalia? Because people listening to news wouldn't think there was any government in Somalia.
Well, as a matter of fact, the great powers, the United States and its European allies, are heavily involved in Somalia. And we have, when we talk about Somalia, we have to know the background. We have to put that in context. The Somalis are being really forced to sort of subjected to so much pressure. And even though we know what we want, it is very hard to implement what we really want. And that's why we have a situation right now where those who were supportive of the occupation are still in power in Somalia. And the people who led the struggle against the Ethiopians are really forced to accept a peaceful resolution, sort of really accept those who were supporting the invasion within the government. So we have two groups in the new government supported the invasion, and another group that fought against the occupation. So how do you balance this? Hello?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, no, that is an interesting contradiction, right? These were two groups that were fighting against each other.
That's right. And we have this huge problem right now, right now is paralyzing to really successfully put together a state that is representative of the people's will. We are sort of pushed to a situation where we have to accept within a government those who supported the invasion. Those who the people don't want those people, but somehow are being forced right now, and they are being guarded and supported by the African Union troops over there. And we don't have a national army. We don't have, the forces that could independently and freely put together a government of the people. So we're still struggling, and the struggle still continues. And that's why we had a conference last weekend to talk about how we move forward. And one of the resolutions that came out was really to support those we know have the best interest, for the people of Somalia. And we know who they are.
And the participants were from all across North America, right?
Yeah, Somali cars came from all over North America, as I explained earlier. It's an umbrella organization that unites seven organizations in North America. And we're very supportive of the, you know, Union Islamic Courts, what they represented. And that's what we're supportive of. And we want to have a state free of intervention, free of, you know, foreign interference.
Now, talking about the issue that has been sort of, that's been highlighted in Somalia in the news was of the so-called Somalian pirates. What was the position of the Islamic courts on the question of piracy, and what is the position of those progressive forces in Somalia on the question of piracy? Because it seems like the West is using the piracy as a opportunity to keep on sending armed forces in and around the waters of Somalia.
You know, we know that the United States has, you know, bases, military bases, over 130 countries right now. And Somalia, they had a base before in the 1980s when the Cold War was still in place. Right now, they're using the excuse of piracy to really bring in their armies and really implement their own agenda. We know that the piracy in Somalia is scattered, as you know, the resources of Somalia has been really stolen by European fishing companies, illegally fishing in the Somali Ocean, and the local people could no longer really fish in those areas. And they started really joining forces together, the Somali fishermen, with people with guns, attacking those boats which were stealing the Somali fishery resources. And when they realized that they could really defend resources, then, you know, those other fishermen from Europe and Asia started also using violence against the Somali fishermen. So that became really a problem. And in the end, you know, the Somalis started to hijack ships, anybody who came around there. And it really transformed right now into a situation where more guns and more military power has been brought in. And Somali Ocean also, they used it as a dumping ground, you know, nuclear waste was dumped in there, as documented by the United Nations. So there is no justice right now. They don't mention what they have been doing for the past 18 years. All you hear is Somali piracy, without really condemning what the European you know, those trawlers, big huge trawlers, are doing in Somalia, you know, in the Somali seas.
And because there's no no navy and no armed forces of Somalia itself, because the West hasn't allowed them to establish a government, they're not able to control their own sovereignty.
That's right. We don't have a national army because, you know, 20 years of anarchy over there and 20 years of international interference, 20 years of domination resulted the situation where we are right now. And it never stops. Somalis know what they really want. The thing is, Somalia is rich with resources, with gas, oil. It is at the perfect place in the world. Geopolitics is involved. So, you know, this is a very difficult situation. But one thing that is clear is that the Somalis really are ready to fight for a long time, to struggle until they free their country from all of these problems.
Now, there is an interesting fact, though, is that when you had that period around the Islamic courts, they
Peter?
Stopped. Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. What happened?
Peter.
Did you get picked up by a pirate? Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. I thought you were held hostage by a pirate. when the Islamic courts were in charge, they stopped the piracy, didn't they?
Yeah, actually, the Union of Islamic Courts were very effective because, you know, the piracy, you know, at that, you know, on those days, were given an opportunity to really get fishing boats, get some help from the Union of Islamic Courts so they can really meet their demands of their daily lives. The way they portray as this can be, you know, as a military as a military solution, there can be no military solution to this. The Islamic Courts used other resources to help the people to meet with their daily demands of living. And that is the only way to move forward. You can never tell people to really, you know, fight for their own rights.
Now, for our listeners, when you say Union of Islamic Courts, and of course the Americans, I think Clinton already, was it Clinton or the State Department has now said, oh, there's Al-Qaeda cells that are leaving Pakistan and Afghanistan to go fight in Somalia. I mean, they're creating more and more of a buzz of it becoming, you know, a terrorist center. And, of course, using in confusing words. The Islamic Courts was a united front, wasn't it, of many different groupings?
Yeah, actually, it's very interesting. I was reading today the Associated Press was saying that more, you know, troops from Al-Qaeda, more extremist groups were moving to Somalia. And this really tells me something else. What it tells me is that now they have an intention to invade Somalia again. And this is how they start, you know, creating a problem that doesn't exist, indicating that there are terrorist groups that might harm the people in North America and Europe. And then they invade the country. So this is a pretext to invade Somalia. That's what I would say. So what I'm...
Oh,
you know,
Obama wouldn't do that, would he?
Well, you know, yeah, Obama really, you know, he says he's going to bring hope to the world. And, you know, hope is not what we need. What we need is tangible action. And the first action that we would like to see is to leave Somalia alone, leave the Somali Ocean, take his troops back, and let the Somalis get together and form their own national representative government. That's what we'd like him to do.
Yeah, no, I would think so. I mean, that's what Somalians have been struggling for many years. I just want to go back to the point when, because we use the term Islamic Courts, and every time you use the word Islam in the West, you got to be very clear, you know, because of the propaganda. The Islamic Courts was a united front, wasn't it, of many different groups?
Well, how they started was smaller courts, you know, which were trying to tackle the anarchy over there and make sure there was a rule of law that people felt safe. Those traditional courts got together and formed what we call today the Union of Islamic Courts. So these were tribal organizations to start with. But the Islamic character is a religion of Somalia. People are Muslims. You know, they have Islam as a religion. So they use that name. But basically, these were tribal organizations that came together to make sure that they had, you know, security in where they lived.
And wasn't the unique...
got together to really chase out the warlords. Those warlords, as I mentioned earlier, were, as documented, were really funded by the, you know, the CIA to crash any kind of, you know, organization that would come to form a national organization. So when they chased out those warlords, then the United States really and Ethiopia invaded Somalia just to reverse that piece of security that the Union of Islamic Courts really won for Somalis.
And the unique thing about those courts is, as you said, they were based on they were tribal courts, But it was an agreement by all these tribes to build a sovereign, functioning state. There was that must have been quite a feat of politics to unite all those tribes to make Somalia function as a healthy state.
Well, actually, they have really done a good job. Those 6 months that the Union of Somali Courts were in power, they are referred to as the golden age of Somalia. Really, those 6 months is something that we always look back to, and we're very proud of. Really, the first time for 18 years that we had a stable, stable government. We had a secure security.
And you did it without the West, eh? Maybe that's why they can't take it.
Well,
it seems that every time a nation is able to do something without the interference of the West, it just drives the Western nations crazy. It's a psychological thing. Africans taking over Africa and running Africa for Africa. That seems to really stick in the craw of European and North American politicians.
Somalia is one of the few countries in Africa right now that domination, is not completely put in place. And look at Kenya, next neighbor. Look at their history. Look at the kind of government they have. Look, their neighbors in Uganda and Rwanda, and how many corporations are involved in Congo. We can go on and on, and we can see what they are trying to really implement in Somalia. This is why we are opposing this. That's why we have a Somali cause. That's why we have so many organizations around the world trying to, inform the world of what's going on in Somalia. The Somali people have a mission, and the mission is to have a free country where we can decide what we want and how we want, and that's what we are really trying to achieve.
Well, Abdi, thank you very much for being on the program, and the best of luck, and let's keep in touch. We want to know what's happening in Somalia, not from the regular sources. We want to know it from unusual sources and what the real facts on the ground are, so thank you. And
thank
we'll keep
so
in touch.
Thank you for the opportunity, and we'll stay in touch. Thanks so much.
Okay. That was Abdi Dersh from Somali Cause. This is CFMU 93.3, Unusual Sources.